cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love, through the storm. You know, that's a song that starts with a verse that says, my hope is built on nothing less, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It takes us back, actually, to the mid-19th century when Edward Mott wrote those incredible words. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. 19th century, Charles Bancroft, and yet perhaps latterly, Vicky Cook. Name we might not know, but we sing those words. Cornerstone, group of chaps from Hillsongs, 2012, revive some old words, put a new tune in place, and it's one of those songs that are swept right across the church, right across the world. One day when heaven was filled with his praises. And the chorus goes, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my guilt far away. Rising, he justified. Freely, forever. One day, he's coming. Oh, glorious day. John Wilbur Chapman in the 19th century, or casting crowns in recent years. Glorious day. A number of old hymns written perhaps centuries ago that contain this unchanging truth, this incredible reality that resonates in our heart as we repeat them tonight. And yet people in recent years have rewritten in a contemporary style music that has enabled churches to express their worship in the most wonderful of ways. And so we announce and launch tonight the Apostolic Church Centenary Song Competition. Seeking to harness incredible lyrics and timeless theology and yet encourage people from across the UK church to find new music that brings a contemporary expression to a truth which will never change. And over the 100 years that we've existed in the UK, we have had some incredibly prolific and talented songwriters right up and down the length and breadth of the land. Many songs. And so the idea of this competition is to get the message out across our churches and say there must be musicians, singers, worship teams, guys and girls who can come together and who can find a new tune to some unchanging truth. And so this song competition is aimed directly at that. We have shortlisted three songs. Three songs. The first one, you may or may not have heard of them. Oh, the riches found in Jesus. It's a D.P. Williams classic. In the Cross of Christ I Glory by G.W. Tickle. And You Suffered on the Tree by the much loved Hugh Mitchell. All of the lyrics for these songs and all of the rules of the competition are on the website from today. And by the end of April, the 30th of April at 12 noon, the challenge is get your entries in. All of the details are there on the website. I don't need to go through them tonight. All you've got to do is record it, sing it. If you can send some music sheets in too, that's brilliant. And it will go to a panel of 6 international apostolic connected experts. Oh, yes. And the winner will have their song at Ablaze UK this year. It's a great opportunity. We don't have to keep singing everybody else's songs. We should sing some of our own songs. And maybe the generation of today can, before the Lord, find some incredible music, some incredible arrangements that brings the timeless theology that our own people in years gone by have put together and that can release us in worship today. Check the website out. The details are there. Take it back to your churches. Leaflets will be sent out too. And let's make something great. God bless you guys. Thank you.
We come now to a really interesting moment in our time of Thanksgiving and celebration. I'm going to make my way along the path there to the back, trusting that the technologists there will be able to hook us up and we'll have a live link to the Apostolic Church Ghana. Is that worth a shout? Yeah. Come on, let's see.
Hello?
Where are you?
You're not there yet.
Are we live? Okay, what we'll do, we'll move on to the next thing. Hallelujah. As Craig prayed, a scripture that came to me, Psalm 90. The beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish the works of our hands. Yes, establish the works of our hands. Amen.
Amen.
I hear that technology is working. Let me get my exercise.
It might only be sound, but we should be okay.
I'm told that it might only be sound. Apostolic Church Ghana, can you hear us?
Yes!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Glory!
Hallelujah!
Glory!
Make some noise, someone.
Glory!
Hallelujah!
Glory!
Hallelujah!
Glory!
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 Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In 1935, God began something in the land of Ghana. Apostolic Church Ghana, we bring you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ on this...
Amen!
On this momentous occasion, we're not just marking history, we're making history. His truth will march on. We want you to bring your greetings, bring your... our ministry to us, and we're ready to receive what God has given to you for us on this wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Apostle. We are excited to join you on this very unique occasion, especially to God for making us part of the celebration. We join you there in spirit, and we thank God we can see you physically as well. We celebrate it 100 years ago, and also celebrate the great man who left the shores of the UK to come to this nation because of their love. God. Church, rise.
I think you recognize this man. Ghana?
Yes. It looks like Apostle Williams wanted to tell us something. We are ready to hear him.
We are praying for you. And we are looking to the Lord to move in a greater way than ever before in Ghana. That his name might be exalted and the work of God might prosper in every part of the country, from Accra to Kumasi to Cape Coast and every department of the country. May the Lord bless you and keep you and glorify himself in and through you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Our president, Apostle, but
we are facing a little bit of a challenge with the technology. We are grateful to God for the few moments that we've had to connect. We're thankful to God that Pastor Williams could be with us tonight. And for Ghana...
Please, can you hear?
We can hear you now.
Not good.
Please speak, we can hear you.
Please speak, we can hear you. Please, are you getting the sound?
We've just heard you. Keep speaking.
Keep speaking.
Godly. Come.
Apostolic Church Ghana, we're unable to hear you, so we will have to stop the attempt to continue with the link. But we want you to know that we love you in the Lord. We thank God for what he has done in the nation of Ghana, for what he is doing, and for the greater things that he will yet do. God will raise up. Our prayer is that God will raise up.
If we will cut the message to be okay yet.
That God will raise up many jewels. Instruments who would move through not just the nation of Ghana, not just the continent of Africa, but the nations of the world carrying the message of the gospel. The life-changing message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name.
The Lord bless you too. The Lord bless you too.
Now do that for Jesus and do it better than you have done. We are a people of the Spirit. Okay, maybe about 10% of the people. Let me try that again. We're a people of the Spirit.
Amen.
We are also a people of the Word.
Amen.
And at this point, we're going to listen to the Word of God, which is going to be brought to us by a revered man of God, a man who has served the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel field, not just in this nation, across many local churches, but he served in the land of Africa, in Zimbabwe. He's an apostle as well as a prophet in the body of Christ. I want you to give a good God bless you to Pastor Eric Hawley as he comes to minister God's word to us.
The Lord earlier on in the meeting, through prophetic utterance, said that he wants to increase our faith. Now, faith cometh by hearing of the word. So let us read the word together. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, in making requests for joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. First day. Until now. Being confident of this very thing. That he which hath begun a good work on the first day will perform it now until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, the future. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. And finally, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me, this is Paul to his son in the faith, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. May God bless his precious word to our hearts. First day, that speaks of a past day. Until now, speaks of a present day. Until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, speaks of a future day. Obviously, I'm going to refer past day, present day, and future day to our fellowship, the Apostolic Church. But it's obvious as this meeting has been continuing tonight that we are interested in individuals, souls, men and women, even in this meeting tonight. And so before we appropriate the first day, now, until, to our fellowship, let us look at it personally. I thank God I've had a first day. Have you had a first day? If you haven't had a first day, you can have a first day tonight. My first day was 59 years ago. In a little wooden hut in the West Midlands that when it rained used to leak. But it was there in that little wooden hut 59 years ago that I had a glorious first day when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The night when I was born again. The night when I repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The night when his precious blood washed me whiter than the driven snow. When my night was turned to day. It was a wonderful day. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. I pray that if you haven't had a first day, you can have that first day tonight in this meeting. Emphasis has also been made about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God it's a distinct and different experience from being born again. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost with signs following. I remember my first day. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a glorious day it was. In the same wooden hut. They must have taken the roof off that night because the floods came down. It was a wooden floor. Individual chairs. And I was sitting there in the middle of this row. And all of a sudden, the power came down. And I spake in other tongues for the first day. Every chair in the row was rocking. And bless God, I've been rocking ever since. Bless God, you can have a first day regarding the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. When Peter was preaching in the house of Cornelius, in the middle of his message, he got interrupted from heaven. Oh, may we have an interruption tonight, and I can sit down. The Holy Ghost fell. And how did Peter know that the Holy Ghost had fallen? He heard them speak in other tongues. May God do it again tonight. I remember many years ago, 50 years ago I would think, my father-in-law had been seeking for the baptism. He came to the convention here and he stayed in the schoolroom down the road. We went back after the morning meeting and there was this old gentleman. And I don't know who he was. Don't know who he was to this day. He came to my father-in-law in that schoolroom down there. And he says, "Have you been baptized in the Spirit since you believed?" He says, "No, but I'm seeking." "Get down on your knees." My father-in-law got down on his knees. And what a visitation we had in the schoolroom. Would God give us a visitation tonight? Now let's apply it to the apostolic church. For the first day, you've got to go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is the account of the first day that Paul is referring to in Philippians chapter 1. Paul's on a missionary journey. He's got a prophet with him named Silas. He's got a young man with him named Timothy. And he's got Dr. Luke with him as well. A little apostolic team. And Paul said, "Let's go to Asia." And the Spirit suffered him not. Having been corrected once, Paul said, "Well, let's try Bithynia." And the Spirit suffered him not. Later on, he had a vision of a man from Macedonia, "Come over and help us." And Paul, instead of finding his feet in Asia, found his feet in Europe. And he was directed by the Lord to Philippi. In other words, Philippi was a place of divine appointment. Now that's important. Divine appointments are important. We can all have our divine appointments. We could be here all night talking about divine appointments. Of course, the divine appointment we are thinking about tonight is what happened 100 years ago. Because we have got to be simple enough to believe, as the Lord directed that little apostolic team so many thousands of years ago to Philippi, and they had a divine appointment with God, we've got to believe that D.P. Williams and the other brethren 100 years ago had a divine appointment with God. If you read the Bible, we haven't got time to go through them all tonight. Divine appointments always bear fruit. Now I'm simple enough to believe the fact that Silas was a prophet that the apostolic team was directed to Philippi and had the divine appointment through prophetical ministry. Do you agree? Not very sure. Immediately they got there, a soul was saved. In fact, more than one soul, because her family got saved. Lydia, a settler of purple, was saved. Short while after, the damsel was saved, delivered from demonic possession. A short while after, because of the imprisonment of Paul and Silas and them singing praises at midnight, God sending an earthquake, the Philippian jailer and his family got saved. Fruit from divine appointment. One thinks of that blessed appointment in the Word of God in John chapter 4. It was a divine appointment. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why did he need to go through Samaria? Because that lady on the satnav was directing him? No. That lady is still refigurating with me. Jesus went to that place in Samaria by divine appointment. He was ordained in eternity past that he should meet that woman. What happened? She got saved. But not only did she get saved, the village got saved. How can we be sure that what happened 100 years ago, 2 miles down the road from here, in Ammanford, when the Apostolic Church was born, it was by divine appointment, beloved. I believe it with all my heart. What about the fruit? The Apostolic Church, we've been told today, is in 92 nations from that little meeting down the road. We've heard how the word grew in Wales, in England, in Scotland, and in Northern Ireland. And today, as we sit in this meeting tonight, there are millions and millions of apostolics throughout the nations of the world. It's been referred to, that statement by James in Acts 15 this afternoon, when James, under the anointing of the Spirit, told that council what God was doing. At this moment of time, in this present dispensation, God is visiting the nations of this world, taking out a people for his name. And the apostolic fellowship has played a wonderful part in the fulfillment of that word. Hallelujah. We're talking about the past. I remember coming to the conventions when they were in here. I heard today they used to get 1,700 crammed in here. Because there was a balcony, a gallery, and these two wings were crowded, and I used to sit on the windowsill. But they used to have a wave offering. Have you ever been in a meeting when they've had a wave offering? It's warm here tonight. Let's create a bit of fresh air. Gentlemen, I checked this, it's clean. Otherwise, I'd have no supper tonight. They used to, I've seen 100 pastors along here, all with their hankies in the air, waving to Jesus. Let's give Jesus a big wave tonight. Hallelujah! Come, hallelujah! 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 It's absolutely miraculous what God has done. And he's the same tonight. Now, Epaphroditus has now visited Paul in prison. Paul's writing these words in prison. Some 20 odd years after Acts 16. And Epaphroditus has come to Paul for three reasons. He's come to give a report of the work. Here you see a seed of apostolic truth, something we've got to grasp at. They weren't little independent works. They were knitted together. He's come to report to headquarters. He's come to tell him about Lydia. She's got a few more grey hairs, but she's going on with the Lord. The damsel's got married, and she's serving the Lord. The Philippian jailer's eldest son's in the ministry. The work's going on, Paul. We've got a few problems. You'll always have problems. There are those who are a little bit worried about your detention in prison. But Paul writes to them and says, tell them not to worry. This is the Lord's doing. Because while I'm in prison, the gospel's being preached even in the palace. And every Roman soldier that comes to me hears the gospel. And when he goes off with the legions to fight, he takes the gospel with him. So don't worry, God's in charge. He must have felt like Caleb, you know. He was one of the spies that went out to spy the land. 10 of the spies saw big giants and a little god. Caleb saw little giants and a big god. Thank God we've got a big God tonight. Then there were two women who weren't talking to one another. Syntyche and Euodias. I always remember when I was in Zimbabwe, the African pastor in Kambazuma, he had a little girl, was born, and I dedicated her. And I said, what are you going to call her? Syntyche. About 18 months later, his wife had another little girl, and we had the dedication. And I said to the, you know what's coming, don't you? And I said to the pastor, what are we going to name this little girl? Euodias. I says, well, the Lord can do wonderful things, and I pray that he does. But perhaps the main reason for Epaphroditus' visit was to bring a missionary gift. He came to bring a gift, financial gift, for the furtherance of the gospel. We've heard today, after just 6 years, in 1922, the Apostolic Church started its missionary work with its center in Bradford. And what has happened from that place and from this place has been absolutely mind-boggling. It's been absolutely tremendous. It's been miraculous. I don't know if you ever went to the missionary office in Bradford. Ever been to the missionary office in Bradford? It was up a back stairs. The health and safety would condemn it. I don't know whether they're still here. They were here this afternoon. The two ladies, Mrs. Rankin and Mrs. Bowen, how they got up them stairs, I don't know. Especially when the ice was upon them. And I remember going up those stairs and meeting these 7 stony-faced men. But there was hope in my heart. I didn't want to go. And I was on my way to see a Dr. Bairstow, who was a consultant, but he was the overseer of Huddersfield. And I thought, I'm going to tell him some stories about my health. And I told him some stories about my health, and he looked at me. I told him I had rheumatics. Eric, he said, I think the heat will do him good. But the best of it all was when he examined my wife. And he said to her, Mrs. Hawley, yes, doctor, be careful with the dairy produce, else you're going to have gallbladder trouble. And the laugh was, Mrs. Burstow had done afternoon tea. You know what we had? Jam and cream scones. 10 years ago, my wife had a gallbladder taken out. But I tell you, when you think from 1922, 92 churches, you think of North America, you think of South America, you think of Europe, you think of Asia, you think of Africa, and you think of Australia, New Zealand. What God has done has been absolutely miraculous. Let us, I've got to watch the clock. I've been given a time limit. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Luke is writing to this Roman dignitary, Theophilus. The former treatise obviously refers to his gospel. And he tells us the purpose of his gospel. And the purpose of my gospel was to put on record all that Jesus, what's the word, began to do and teach. He's now writing his second treatise, the Acts of the Apostles. If the first treatise was a record of what Jesus began to do and teach, the second treatise was a record of what Jesus continued to do and teach. So what Jesus did while he was on earth, in the Gospels, he did through his church by the power of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And what he taught in the Gospel records, he continued to teach in the Acts of the Apostles through his church by the Holy Spirit. You see a twofold ministry here. Now, we're coming to think about the future. I believe the future of the Apostolic Church is glorious. But here we have a divine principle that if the future is going to be glorious, we've got to adhere to. We've got to continue to do what Jesus did. And we've got to continue to teach what Jesus taught by the Holy Spirit today. What did Jesus do? Well, we could be here all night, couldn't we? He called sinners to repentance. Matthew at the seat of custom. The woman at the well. Nicodemus. We could go on. But not only did he call sinners to repentance, he healed the sick. Blind Bartimaeus. The man by the pool. The woman with the issue of blood. He delivered those that were oppressed of the devil. The little boy when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. The Gadarean maniac. You come to the Acts of the Apostles. What did Jesus continue to do? On the day of Pentecost, he called 3,000 souls to repentance. In Acts chapter 8, he called one Ethiopian eunuch who went all the way back to Africa to repentance. You think of Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, full of teaching. Paul's stay at Corinth. Paul's stay at Ephesus, establishing, So we need to have missionary enterprise and ministerial endeavor. We need to be evangelical, missionary, and we need to be establishing as well. We need to preach the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to establish the converts in the things most surely believed among us. In the early days of the Apostolic Church, two prominent men, Andrew Turnbull in Scotland, D.P. Williams here in Penygross. Andrew Turnbull portrayed the doing side of it. A man mightily used of God in the salvation of souls, in healing of bodies, and casting out of demons. Remarkable man. Read the book, Apostle Andrew. D.P. Williams concentrated on the truth. You've only got to read the editorials of The Riches of Grace. Fabulous teaching. The Apostolic Church produced two magazines. The Apostolic Herald, which was evangelical, and at one time they were delivering over 30,000 copies in the United Kingdom alone. And The Riches of Grace, which was the doctrinal. I think it was through a copy of The Riches of Grace finding its way somewhere into a Nigerian's hand that the work in Nigeria commenced. I thank God we've heard much about the revelation. I thank God for the revelation that was committed to our forefathers. Amen. Thank God for the truth of the gospel, the truths of the word of God that were committed to our forefathers. I thank God for their missionary endeavor. I thank God for their evangelical endeavor in bringing souls to Christ and in the healing of sick bodies and the delivering of the captives. But I also thank God for the wonderful truths and treasures of the word of God that they opened unto us. May God help us. Amen. As we go into the future. It's been interesting today. And I stand to be corrected on this. We've heard much about the 1904-1905 revival. Thank God for that revival. But no one's mentioned the 1860s revival, have they? The 1860 revival was longer lasting and more effective than the 1904 revival. Why? Because the 1960 revival was based on the Word. The 1904 revival was based upon experience. Now we need both. We need experience in the realm of salvation, in the realm of healing, in the realm of deliverance. But we need the word, and we need to be grounded firm and true on the things most surely believed among us. We need to treasure them. Time has gone. We go to Paul's admonition to Timothy. Timothy had been directed to Paul by prophecy. It's amazing, the more you go into the New Testament, how much prophetic direction there was. It wasn't something new that started with D.P. Williams and Jones Williams. No, no, no. Get back to the New Testament. And Timothy came under the wing of the apostle. The apostle was always interested in young men. Thank God for young men. I thank God as a young man, I first came to this convention in this hall, and I sat under a wonderful ministry. I've done correspondence courses with the Apostolic Church, A.A. Lewis, Ian McPherson, etc. I thank God for grounding in the truth. You see, in 1933, they built this place. And it's been a tremendous vessel in the hand of the Lord for the promotion of God's work. But also in 1933, they built another building in Penygross. Can anybody tell me what it was? Anybody? The Bible College. I was privileged to go to a place called, I think I got the pronunciation right. I know there's a French couple here tonight. It was Thun in Switzerland. It's a lovely place by the river there. And it was an apostolic European conference. And I went with Pastor Seaborn and two other brethren. And you know what amazed me? Nearly every leader in the various nations of Europe had been through the Apostolic Church Bible College. As far as I know, the present leader of the Apostolic Church in Sri Lanka came through the Bible College when I was there. And one of the pastors, main pastors in India, came through the Bible College. We need to be established in the truth. So Paul says to Timothy, what I have committed unto you, I want you to commit to others, that they will be able to commit to others. And thank God for D.P. Williams. I thank God for Pastor Rowe. I thank God for all these heroes of faith down the years who taught us the things most surely believed among us. I thank God I've been privileged to sit under some of these men. And by the grace of God, I've endeavored in my little lifetime to teach others what I was taught. And I pray, and this is the prayer of my heart, that our, we've been asked to pray for our leaders. I pray that our present leaders will teach what D.P. Williams taught, that the present generation will be brought up on the things most surely believed among. I was greatly blessed by that song we sung at the beginning of the meeting. I believe. It was a great song. I believe. I want to tell you tonight, I believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I believe it. Not all Pentecostals believe in the Trinity. There's the Jesus only movement. But I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I believe in the utter depravity of human nature. Do you? I believe in the need for repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in the final doom of those who refuse to repent. Amen? No annihilationism here, I hope. We live in terrible times. I believe in the virgin birth. Amen. Let's say amen. And once you believe in the virgin birth, you make Jesus unique. There's no one else like him. And once you believe in the virgin birth and make Jesus unique, there's no multiplicity of faiths. I believe in his sinless life. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I believe in his finished work on the cross. But this man, listen to the words. This is what we believe. This man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It is finished. No more sacrifice. I believe in the resurrection. I thank God Jesus is alive. No wonder the future is glorious. Jesus is alive, beloved. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I believe that he's ascended to the right hand of majesty on high. I believe he's praying for me tonight. I believe he's praying for you. I believe he's preparing a place for me. When I first got married 50 odd years ago, I went to the Wolverhampton council offices to put my name down for a council house. And the lady smiled at me. She says, "Mr. Hawley, you can put your name down. You'll get one added point every year. You've got no chance." Fifty-nine years ago, my name was written down. Written down in glory. And I praise God. And if there's anybody here living in a council house, don't let me upset you. I'm not looking for a council house. And I'm not looking for a room like the NIV. I'm looking for the King James. I've got a mansion. I believe. I believe Jesus is coming again. It's very doubtful we'll have another 100 years. I don't know. But Jesus is coming again. And I thank God for the teaching we had on the second coming. Oh, it was wonderful. I thank God he's coming to the air for his church. And the dead in Christ shall rise. There might be some resurrections when the fireworks go. I don't know. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. But then, the 7-year tribulation period. You believe it? Oh yes. God's not finished with Israel yet. And during that 7-year tribulation period, Israel will be prepared for the millennial. And at the end of the 7 years, Jesus will come. Not to the air this time, but to the earth. And he will reign. King of kings and Lord of lords. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with signs following. Amen. The charismatic movement did tremendous harm to that doctrine because they did not differentiate between the initial evidence and the gift of tongues. They are different. It's not all that have the gift of tongues for interpretation. But all who are baptized in the Holy Spirit speak in tongues. Amen? That's what we were taught. Clearly and distinctly. Read W.A.C. Rowe's book on Pentecost. Read it. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Say it quietly. I believe in the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. The 3 incommunicable attributes of God is the divine omniscient one. He knows all things. So he gives words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He gives gifts of healing, working of miracles, and the gift of faith. He's divine, omnipresent, and he speaks words through the gift of prophecy, speaking in tongues and interpretation. I believe in the fivefold ministries. I believe in apostles to govern, prophets to guide, evangelists to gather, pastors to ground and guide, and teachers to ground and guide. So, time's gone. I believe in this book. I believe in the Word. And Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who started the work 100 years ago and has continued it till now will continue it till it's completed when the Lord comes again, because he said, I will build my church. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Eric. Amen. Amen. Hey, we might have had a message from Her Majesty. Hey, but wasn't that something else tonight? That's fantastic, Eric. A message that's so fitting for this occasion, and a message that will just launch us into a new era of activity. So thank you very much, Eric. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, thank you for sharing the Word of God with us. Amen. We're bringing our service to a close, and we're going to sing a great hymn to end. It's not the hymn on your program, I have to say. It's not the hymn on your program, but it's a great hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. We're going to sing it, and we'll sing it under inspiration after a word like that. Amen. And then Pastor Emmanuel is going to come and some closing remarks and announce the benediction. Remember the fireworks. Eric has alluded to it. Remember the fireworks. 10 minutes after the end of the meeting, we'll gather outside and enjoy a great climax and a finale to our day together. Thank you ever so much for coming. The Lord bless you. Lord grant you traveling mercies. Some of you have got a long journey home, but I'm sure you're going home encouraged, energized, and ready to go back to your community to do the great missional work of Jesus. The Lord bless you all. Let's sing this great hymn together. Thank you.
I'm going to make some statements which are our commitment. We commit ourselves based on the challenge of God's word and the mandate that God has given to us as a movement. And at the close of this first gathering or celebration of our first century, we commit ourselves to the proclamation of the authentic gospel. We commit ourselves to making disciples who make disciples. We commit ourselves to demonstrate the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. We commit ourselves to being a missional church. We commit ourselves to being a praying church. We commit ourselves to being a church that builds apostolic houses, apostolic centers. We commit ourselves. It's our commitment to God and to one another, to building apostolic leaders. We commit ourselves to an unswerving commitment to the Great Commission. We commit ourselves to being a church that brings transformation. A church that makes a difference. A church that is relevant. A church that moves in the power of the Holy Spirit. A church of missionary endeavor. A church of ministry endeavor. That's our commitment. And by His Spirit, we shall prosecute the agenda that God has given to us until Jesus comes or calls. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. You can put your hands together for the Lord. The Lord bless you. Safe journey home. Continue to celebrate, continue to work, continue to anticipate greater things that God has for us. And I'll see you all in Cheltenham in July, August. God bless you.